come in our reading of the book of Romans now to Romans chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 18 and continue to verse 30. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 1201. Now, Paul is wrapping up, as it were, the main line of argument of the book of Romans. He has described man's total depravity in chapters 1 to 3, the wrath of God from which we can do nothing of our own to escape, the doctrine of justification at the end of chapters 3, 4, and 5, chapter 6, 7, and now into chapter 8. He's talking about the grace of God in sanctification. Our last reading had some great statements that we are able to keep God's word. We are able and empowered by His Holy Spirit. But now he says that there is suffering nonetheless for the Christian. He wraps up in verse 17, provided we suffer with him in order that we also would be glorified with him. And so the theme now is, what about the suffering we're going to have as Christians? And you can see Paul having a pastoral dialogue. When you're preparing sermons, you ought to sometimes think about the questions they're going to ask. Well, some will be wondering about this, some will be thinking this. And the first question really, is it all worth it? If I'm going to have to suffer in this life with Jesus Christ, well, he says in verse 18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. There is a future glory. And he goes on, these are important verses. You have things here that you don't have with this clarity elsewhere in the Bible. He says, you know, the creation itself was affected by the fall. It's subjected to futility. That the creation itself is longing for its original intended condition. The language is actually the creation is on tiptoe, waiting for the day of redemption that will be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you and I, through the trials of this life, yes, there will be suffering. Yes, sanctification is hard. It's all leading to a glorified cosmos of which we will be parts. We will be heirs with Christ of it all. And so what an understatement when he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. There's one issue. Another issue is, you know, I'm so weak, I can't even pray. You're talking about I should have high expectations for my Christian life, and I'm able, I'm a son of God, I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. I can hardly get through prayers, and I know that you all, I want you to know, you're not the only one, who I can hardly get through a prayer without my mind wandering, and I find it difficult. He says, yes, but you forget that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer, in our weakness. He actually intercedes. See, it's God saving his people, and even your prayer life is in his hands. And then what will I make it in the end? Is there security for me? And we have some great statements in the final verses of this passage to the effect that God is able to do everything that we need. Even the bad things of our life are things that he is working according to his will for our good. For those whom God predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. If you're a Christian, trust in him. He's got it under control. Yield yourself to his glory. Well, with these things being said, let me begin reading at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. May God be praised through the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen.